prepare ourselves now for the message. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this good weather that you sent us. And Lord, we pray that you indeed give us a fresh vision, a fresh insight into your word. Because Lord, in this world of darkness, we need it more than ever. And so Lord, help us to see your truth because it affects everything else. Give us your grace now, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People always say to me, why can't you preach something else apart from Matthew? So today I thought I'd share with you some of my experiences about eyesight, all the things I've learned during my past few weeks and months and even years of researching the eyesight. So probably you might hear something new about eyesight. We know eyesight is very important, isn't it? We have to preserve our eyesight no matter what happens. But it's not just the things we see. It's how we see things through our eyes, how we perceive things, how we come to conclusions, how we learn about things, how we have first impressions. Who was that who was asking about job interview? Stan, last night at the LSG, right? But not just about first impressions in terms of your answers, but also how you dress. Because you should always dress appropriately for the interview. Imagine if you are trying to interview for a plumber and someone comes dressed in a suit and tie. You could be overdressed for that role, isn't it? But that doesn't mean you have to wear your plumber's clothes to the interview as well. So our eyes make up conclusions very quickly if we are when we see things or see people. But our eyes also can bring back memories, because when you see certain things, you might remember, oh, I've seen that before, that color or that texture or something that has interested you in the past. And of course, our culture and our upbringing does change how we see things, don't we? We also see people, and sometimes we look at a person and we say, oh, that person looks unfriendly, or that person is friendly, and we make some judgment on that. Or we look at someone coming into the church and we say, no, that person, I'm not going to talk to that person today, just not my type. How we see people affects how we think, and how we think affects how we think, how we see people as well. Well, as some of you know, recently my eyes started giving me problems again. So I decided to do some research about sunglasses. Well, as a kid, so our first part of my message today will be just the practical aspects of eyesight. And the second thing is, second part will be the spiritual aspects. But as a kid, I used to hate to see people wearing sunglasses. Because when I was brought up, and my family didn't have much money, we didn't have money for luxuries. So when I saw people with sunglasses, I thought they were just wearing it to show off. And of course, it was very fashionable. But I realized a bit too late, I think, that if I had worn sunglasses a bit earlier, perhaps my eyes health will be a lot more better. You know, there's a saying, your eyes are the window to your soul. And it's true, when you go and see an optometrist, or more importantly, an ophthalmologist, which is different from an ornithologist, which is a bird watcher. If you go and see them, they can tell you how your health is. And that's very important. Your eyes are indeed the window to your soul. But now that I know, I'm wearing shades a lot more. So I gave a pair to Helen, but today she said to me, I broke my lenses. So, well, what can you do? Sometimes you give things free to people, they don't take care of it. I have to buy you another pair, Helen. But today I brought my special pair. I'll show it to you. So this is what I wear now. And of course, I can't read my notes because it's too dark. But it protects me in my driving. And a few weeks back when I had my intense eye pain, as I got out of my car at, going to the park to change prayer meeting, I put on these shades and the amazing thing was the pain was a lot more manageable. So I realized it is true. With the right kind of glasses, it can protect your eyes. So I decided to do some research. What is these sunglasses? What do they do? And of course, the word that we use today is polarized sunglasses. And it's initially very popular among racing car drivers and fishermen. Do you know why? Racing car drivers and fishermen, what's the things in common? Well, these are the areas where there's a lot of intense light. Or where you need to sense or see danger more clearly before something happens. And that's why all these people wore polarized sunglasses. But let me go into a bit of science here. Light in general is a lot more diffuse. When it strikes an object, it gets diffused. So you see it, but it's not that bright. But sometimes the lights converge and it becomes very, very bright. So that's why a fisherman needs sunglasses, because over the white calm sea, the sea can be a whole reflective surface and it can be very, very painful to the eyes. I wonder if you've gone up to the sea sometimes and the sun is shining down and reflecting off its surface and you just get blinded by the glare from the sea. And so people wear glasses for that. But did you know that different colored sunglasses can do different things? And there's even some claims of some miraculous properties of different colored sunglasses. So after this message, perhaps next week, I might see some of you with different colored sunglasses coming in, especially you, Kathy Wong. I'll tell you why in a while. Okay, first of all, race car drivers tend to prefer brown or copper tinted sunglasses. Do you know why? Brown or copper-colored sunglasses. Have you heard of this? You see the, like, you know, Tom Cruise in that Days of Glory kind of thing. You know, he was wearing all these glasses. Well, the reason is very interesting because it provides much more clarity. It sieves out the unwanted light and it enhances the color rate. So if you are driving at night, it might be helpful to wear brown colored glasses because you can see red a lot more clearly. So that's something interesting that to look out for. But perhaps the biggest interest at the moment is yellow or amber colored glasses. Do you know what's so special about yellow or amber colored? And it's preferred by, of all people, golfers and cyclists. So, Pastor Jen, I'll see you wearing your yellow sunglasses if you play golf again. When you play golf again, sorry. And why do people wear yellow or amber glasses? Well, it works best during blurry, overcast, and hazy conditions because the extra water vapor, as they claim, increases the scattering of the blue light. Blue light is actually our biggest enemy. It's the light that causes glare, and it's the light that causes your eye to flinch in the brightness of it. And so when you are not seeing clearly, one of the signals that your eyes send to you is that you need to be focused, you need to be calm, and because you're not feeling calm, that's why it gives you a sense of anxiety as well. And so in hazy conditions, when you can see clearly, you have a lot more calmness and more concentration. So it's interesting. So maybe from now on, if you're not good at seeing at night when you drive, having some yellow glasses. Well, actually, I've placed some order for all these different colored glasses through my usual eBay account. But unfortunately, it has not arrived in time. So I can't demonstrate to you all the different colors. Or else you think I'm just a hippie trying to show off. But let me share with you something about blue light. Blue light reduces our clarity and depth perception. It makes our eyes work harder, and because of that, it creates greater eye fatigue, and it causes us headaches. And perhaps for older folks, having this uncertainty, as I said earlier, causes confusion and uncertainty. And that's why sometimes there is a fear of driving at night, because we just can't see properly. And one of the greatest emitters of blue light is actually your mobile phone and your computer. Did you know that? And that's why what caused my eye problem recently was because I've been reading my mobile phone at night, and it's been emitting a lot of blue light, and it's causing a lot of problems. So perhaps if I had worn my yellow tinted glasses, which I've just ordered, maybe it would be better. But did you know that mobile phone makers have already realized this problem? Did you know there's a feature in your latest mobile phone that you can turn off the blue light or blue light reduction? Did you know there's a feature in your phone? So you might actually set that on as a default. But for the older phones, of course, you don't have this feature. And in Windows 10, there's also a button there that you can turn on the reduction of blue light as well. But what's the effect of blue light? And this is where maybe, Darren, you can hear about this. Blue light also suppresses our melatonin, which is what we need to sleep. So for those of us who watch a lot of TV, or on the screen, or on the mobile phone, why we can't sleep at night sometimes is because the blue light has caused a reduction of melatonin. So I don't know whether that's your problem, but that causes it. It's quite amazing that, you know, the light we see can even affect our health. The light we see can affect how we rest. And there's even a claim bigger than that. He says that it can even be used to treat bipolar disorder. As you know, people suffering from mental illness have a very difficult time getting a cure, let alone stabilizing themselves. And yet, if we knew that the right lenses can help calm a person down, why wouldn't we let that person wear those lenses? Having some lenses that sieve out the blue light can cause a person to feel more confident about their surroundings. And so it can help to control their bipolar disorder as well. That's an interesting claim. So I'm going to test it out on some people later on when I go back to Malaysia. And it's going to be interesting if that person calms down because of the light that was disturbing their eyes. And I can go on and on about the advantages of it, but that proves a point. The point is that we are often not aware of what enters our eyes. We're not aware of how this thing that comes into our eyes affect how we live, how we sleep, how we think, and how we function. It's interesting to note that. And so we don't discern a lot of things physically. How much more when it comes to God's Word? How much more when it comes to God's truth that we don't discern what is right before our eyes? We read today's passage, and many people think about 1 Corinthians 13 as the passage of love. But Paul was actually writing that as a refutation against the speaking of unnecessary tongues, of excessive tongues. And here he describes a situation where we see things very, very hazily. We see through a mirror, but not very, very clearly. If you knew how mirrors were made during Paul's day, 2,000 years ago, you would easily identify with what Paul was saying. Because the mirrors we use today are very different during Paul's time. Mirrors were either made of polished metal, usually copper or some shiny metal, which tends to corrode over time or oxidize over time, and people need to polish it up again. And so over time, you will start to see the image getting darker and darker and darker. And not only that, when you look at metal surfaces, because it's not completely flat or completely polished, you don't see a clear image of yourself in the mirror. Or mirrors during that time were also cylindrical. Have you been to Pancake Parlor recently? Do you like the crazy mirrors outside? Where you can look very fat or very thin or very short or very tall. Well, imagine if you have to stare at those mirrors to look at your image each and every day. So cylindrical mirrors tend to give that wrong impression. And so when Paul writes to the Corinthians knew only too well what Paul was talking about, isn't it? They knew that they couldn't see clearly, and not only time, over time, those mirrors would give a less clear picture about who they are. But even if you look at the modern mirror today, it's not a true image of yourself. Do you know why? Do you know why today's mirror, as clear as they are, do not give you a clear image? Can someone tell me? It's called the Leonardo da Vinci effect. Because whatever is left is right, and whatever is right is left. So you think you look more handsome on one side? It's actually the other side, when people see you. It's interesting. And so we can't get away from seeing, we can't see our true self. And Paul reminds us that there's only one person who sees our true self, who's able to break through all the hindrances, our eye degeneration, the light that comes and creates confusion, the imperfect images in the mirror, and that person is God. Because when God sees you, you will be fully known, as Paul writes in Corinthians. What does that mean? You will be fully known. You know, some of us, we are very calm exteriorly, but we may be very anxious on the inside. We may be very nice people, but mention a certain topic and they get very worked up. Or people may look to be very nasty or cold or whatever, but they are really nice people on the inside. This is the problem of the world we live in today, isn't it? We can't see beyond what is the exterior. We can't see what is the truth. We cannot fully know who a person is. And that is, there is much sadness in that, isn't it? That people misunderstand us and we misunderstand others because we cannot fully know who a person is. But God knows us. These past few days I've been... in fact, last night there was a film on called One Chance. Do you know what that film is about? It's the story of Pol Pot. Do you know who Pol Pot is? Not Pol Pot, who is the killer of Cambodia, the killing fields. He's Pol Pot of England. He was the first Britain Got Talent winner. And you know, when he was living in Wales, South Wales. Nobody gave him a chance. He was a mobile phone salesman in a shop. Imagine you went down to the Optus shop and that shop assistant there served you. Would you think twice about that person's ability or future? But Paul Potts was a mobile phone salesman. And when he started to sing, no one gave him a chance. Not even his dad. But when he sang that night, the song Nossum Doma, one of the most dramatic songs, the song of hope, that through the stillness of the night, there is hope. Everyone was enthralled and captured by his singing. And he went on to win. And he's gone all over the world now, singing his song. And of course, he has his critics. He's been to China, he's been to Korea, he's been to Japan, he's been to Venice and all these places singing their songs. And it's just amazing. A mobile phone salesman. And in a way, it's sad that we don't give people a chance. When we look at someone, when we see someone, we straight away come to the conclusion, that's how the person is. That's how this person's character is. That will never change. I wish we look at people through God's eyes, of what people can become, rather than what they have become. That things that we will be fully known. This is a challenge to us. And of course, a few years later, there was another lady, a frumpy lady. And again, people didn't give her a chance. And of course, she sang, and the rest is history. Now, by no means these people are perfect. Susan had a mental breakdown because she was not used to all the fame and publicity. But her life was changed. I think if we are able to exercise the fullness of our potential, of our capacity, our life will change as well. I wonder whether we in the congregation recognize each other's potentials and encourage one another, because we see things, we see people through the eyes of the Lord instead of through our own eyes. That is a challenge for us. You see, but if we need to see people through the Lord's eyes, it is not through mere initial impressions. We have to ask questions. We have to know people. We have to visit them. We have to talk to them and say, this is the person's heart. This is the person's potential. This is the person's capability. Let me help you to get to the next stage. Are we doing that as a church? That is a challenge for us. We all suffer from sight defect. We need glasses. We need tinted glasses. We need polarized glasses. But God doesn't need sunglasses, because He is the source of all light. He sees us as we are, and He will make us fully known as we are known ourselves. We need to see that we have failed in practicing God's word in our life, in our congregation, in our attitudes to one another. And we need to see people and the potential they can become, and to encourage one another. That's a challenge that we have today. How is your vision? Do you need corrective lenses from the Lord? Or do you see people clearly as they are? In the Old Testament, there's a passage about seeing. Moses had led the people out of Egypt, and he reminds the Israelites in Deuteronomy 4:9. He says this, "Only be careful and watch yourself closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when you said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness." Moses reminded the Israelites, "You have seen all the things that God has done. Now there are two lessons that you need to remember. First thing is, don't forget. If you see something good in someone, don't forget. If you see something that needs help in someone, don't forget. God has done a lot through that person. Don't forget. We often forget each other. We forget how God has dealt with us. But the lesson is, don't forget. Help us to remind one another. You remember, you were so good at certain things some time ago. Keep on doing that. Or you have some skill in something. Don't forget. Keep on practicing and improving on it. Don't forget God's goodness. And don't forget the goodness we see in others. We should always remember what God has done in our lives. You know, people sometimes ask me, "Why are you always so interested in the young people?" Actually, I'm quite old, you know. Some people my age would have given up on the young people. They'd rather deal with older people as well. But I remembered when I was a young person, when no one gave me the time of the day, when no one was interested to mentor me, when no one was thought that I could become something useful at all. And when I remember that, I have the strength to help someone young. If I can help one more person, I will be very happy. So I remember, and I hope you remember what God has done in your life, that you can help others too, to not forget how God has delivered you. And so you will deliver others also. And of course, the second part is to teach others. Moses told the Israelites to teach their children and the children after them. And so the Jewish people till today have a very strong tradition of memories of the past, of the Passover, of how God has been good to them. I wonder whether what we have learned, we want to teach others, to share with others, to help others, that they do not fall in the same problems or to have go through the same problems that we used to go through ourselves. To share with others that God is good, that God is the one who understands, that God is the one who has a plan for you and for them. That the best moments of your life is there for rejoicing, but also the worst moments of your lives is also there to remember that God is with you. Emmanuel, we cry. God with us. But He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If that's the case, how then should we live? We may have gone through difficult things in our past. We have been hurt by people, by circumstances, by events. But the one who fully knows you, the one who sees you clearly, has not given up on you. He still has something for you to do. The only thing is, are you willing to give up your past to embrace the future that God has for you? Do you see that? Do you see that with your spiritual eyes? And if you do that, if you believe God has a future for you and not just the past, I believe He will be glorified in you. And just as He will be glorified in you, He will be glorified in others. For just as a match that's burning does not give much warmth, but the match that lights a fire will give much warmth to people around. One person by himself or herself cannot do much, but together we can achieve a lot more. And that's why I always share with you about community building, about building the church, because we need to work together. We can't do it alone. That's why we need to meet regularly, to encourage one another, to support one another, and most importantly, to pray for one another. Yes, you will be fully known as you are known to God. These few days, I also been intrigued by the pictures that the Hubble telescope has been sending down. I think there's some sort of anniversary. And the Hubble telescope has shown a lot of incredible pictures. One of the most incredible pictures is, I think it's the hand of creation. It shows new stars being formed, and as though there was a hand in that space creating things. The scientists, of course, don't believe in God, but I believe that God is in there. But the most remarkable thing, when I look at all those incredible pictures of stars and new galaxies, that the Bible declares we are His best creation. Search no more throughout the universe. The best creation is already here on earth. The question is, do we believe that? I guess when you look at each other, you say, is that God's best creation? And you might be very doubtful, I'm sure. But rest assured, we are God's best creation because we are made in the image of God. No other thing or person or animal is made in the image of God. So I wonder whether we are filled again with optimism to walk again with God, to walk with renewal of our faith and our mind and our strength, that we will continue to work for the glory of God, to share the good news when things are tough, to continue to build His church, or we are just given up on His best creation. And I hope that when we are long gone and we walk among God's creation, among the stars, and then you realize that among the quadrillion number of stars out there, we are meant to be controlling all these galaxies, that will surely blow your mind. God's greatest creation. God sees us for what we can be and who we can be instead of what we are now. Don't give up on yourself. Continue to believe in Him because He sees in you what is going to be better. Things are going to be better and a much better situation than now. The question is, do we believe? That is the challenge for our times. We are restricted by our physical eyesight. We need shades to help us see better. But God sees us clearly. Do we believe that? Let us pray. Father, we see darkly because of our sin and our fallen nature. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you see us for who we truly can be and who we are. The world may look down on us. They may see us as obsolete, irrelevant, but Lord, you know us. You know what you can yet do in us if we never give up in you. Help us to be strong in you. Help us to renew our faith in you. Help us to appreciate the creation you have made for us and our role in it. Help us to step up in times of need, whether in our work, friendship, our studies. Help us to tell others about you. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, but that your gospel will strengthen us, to give us a boldness to preach your word. For as much as wealth and materialism will help us in this life, we know that it is our faith that will aid us most in our next life. So help us to have a clear vision of you and continue to clarify our vision. Help us to continue to commit ourselves to you. Give us your grace and your strength today. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a thought coming to me. I've been asking you all to ask people to pray. A strange thing happened to me this week also. So it's been quite an eventful week apart from me falling sick. I bought another computer from eBay, as you know. And this person failed to send me the computer. For about a week and a half, he kept silent. So I started complaining, where's the computer? Where's the computer? And at last, he answered me. He said, I'm sorry I didn't answer you earlier because I've been bringing my son to hospital, in and out. But I'll refund you the money and I'll send you the computer for free. But I thought that was very generous of him. But then I said to him, I said, thank you for your offer. I'll pray for your son's recovery. That happened all over eBay. You see, I know that person, I won't mention his name, but I know that that person will be a person of faith. And we can pray for one another. There's opportunities to witness, even over eBay. I wonder whether you're aware of the opportunities to witness, to share God's love, and to say God cares for your son. God cares for you. That is the privilege we have, to share God's blessings with others. Let us always be aware of opportunities to pray for other people. I'll share with you a song from Hillsong, but it's also the background about nature and about creation. I hope you will be in awe of how God creates the universe. And we are indeed His best creation. And to see ourselves as such, to give us strength and hope for tomorrow.